How many of us as kids awaiting punishment can remember our dad saying, "This will hurt me more than it will hurt you"? Few kids believe that, but loving fathers know that correction now avoids tragedy in later life. Just so, our Heavenly Father will inflict short-term pain for long-term gain. Today, how a shepherd handles a sometimes rebellious sheep. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is in a series on When God Shows Himself. Turn with us to the beloved 23rd Psalm as we learn that when the shepherd takes our hand, he often must take us to the woodshed.
And what happens if a sheep is particularly rebellious? A sheep that is simply unwilling to learn that it's a bad idea to get out of step with the rest of the flock. Well, what the shepherd will do, which seems very mean, is to actually break the leg of that sheep. And what he's trying to do is to teach him a lesson. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." And then he says in verse 71, "It was good for me that I was afflicted. Now I have kept thy word." And what the shepherd will do is take that sheep and put him on his shoulders, plural, not just his shoulder, but shoulders, and will sling him over his neck so that the shepherd can really hold on to all four legs if he wishes to do that, so that the sheep is secure, and he'll bring him back and he'll work with him and he will teach him a lesson. It is a bad idea to go your own way and to choose your own grass and your own water. You can't live alone if you're a sheep, and you have to stay close to the shepherd. That's one kind. There are Christians who are going the wrong way, and the shepherd has to pull them back. We've all been there, haven't we? There's another kind of sheep that needs to be restored, and that is the ones who have to be turned right side up. Because what happens is some sheep will be resting in the sun and enjoying themselves, but they'll be along on the side of a hill. And so what happens when the center of gravity begins to shift of their body? They get turned upside down, and there they are, just like a turtle. And they can't get back up on their own. And they can paw all that they want. They can paw the air, but nothing happens. And they will be dead in a matter of hours if they're in heat, in the heat of the sun, and if not, they can also die of starvation over a period of time. And what the shepherd needs to do is to get them right. These kinds of sheep are cast down sheep. That's what they are called. And maybe that's what David had in mind in Psalm 42 when he says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you turned upside down? Why is it that you feel so helpless and all that you are doing is beating the air?" God is there to help you. God is there to right you and to set you up straight and get you back into the path. You'll notice that he leads us, the Bible says, in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We sometimes sing, "He leadeth me, O blessed thought." And it is a blessed thought to know that God is the one who does the leading and we do the following. And he doesn't take us any place where he has never been. The shepherd always goes to pastures ahead of the sheep and checks things out. And there's no trial that God will take you through, but that Jesus has been there. Have you been rejected? He was despised and rejected of men. Have you been a victim of injustice? All of the injustices and the false accusations that were made against him, he endured. Will the time come for you and for me to die? Yes, and he has died as well. He's gone on ahead. He's prepared the way. And now he asks us as his sheep to follow in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. His reputation is at stake. Third, he comforts the sheep. You'll notice it says in verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Most people, when they read this, they think of a funeral, don't they? Because this psalm is oftentimes read at funerals and has comforted many of those who have survived. But actually, there is such a thing in Israel as the valley of the shadow of death. I've been in Israel 4 times, and only once did I see that valley. Most of the time, people don't go to see it. It's a little bit out of the way. The bus has to make some extra miles. But you see this deep valley. I'm told hyenas at night and vultures by day. Beating sun also during the day and cold at night. And you look at how steep it is. There's no way that anyone would want to go in that valley. It's known as the Valley of the Shadow of Death, where many people have died. And so he says, even though you're going to lead me through that valley, he says, I know that your rod and your staff are going to be there, and you are going to be with me. Do you notice in the text how he actually changes now pronouns? In the first 3 verses, he talks about the Lord in the third person. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. In verse 4, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Now he's into the second person. God walks with him through the experience. The shadow of a sword draws no blood. The shadow of a wolf does not bite. Donald Gray Barnhouse was coming back from the funeral of his wife, and he was trying to comfort his children. And as they were going along the highway, a truck came and passed them. And he noticed that the shadow passed the car. And he said, children, were you hurt by the shadow? And they said, no, we weren't hurt by the shadow. Now, we would be hurt by the truck, but not its shadow. In the very same way, he said, your mother has died, but she passed through the shadow of death, and she was not hurt by it because the Good Shepherd was there with her on the other side to greet her, and she made it to the other side. Oftentimes, what shepherds would do to help the sheep in the summertime as they had to go to higher grazing elevations, they would take them through that valley and then up the other side. But the sheep didn't want to go. Too steep, too many rocks, too many dangers. So what the shepherd would do is to choose a little lamb, and he would put that lamb on his shoulder, and he himself would begin the journey. Well, obviously, as you might suspect, the mother of the little lamb would follow. And once the mother began to follow, one or two other sheep would follow, and once you got two or three others, you'd get all the rest, and pretty soon the whole flock would be going through the valley and doing their best, struggling up to the other side. See, that's what God does to us, doesn't he? There are some of you who are listening to this who know what it's like when God chooses a little lamb, the death of a child. A child that is born stillborn, or perhaps dies after a certain number of weeks or years or months, and your heart is just absolutely broken. And for the first time in your life, you begin to long for heaven, and you begin to say, I want to follow my child all the way to glory. I want to follow that one who has followed the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd takes us to the other side. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, the rod, of course, which is a defensive weapon. The rod is about 4 feet long. It's like a club, keeps the enemies away. The staff, the shepherd's crook, to take that sheep that's on its way off the path, or that has fallen, or that has experienced even a broken leg, and the shepherd needs to bring him back. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Yes, the shepherd's crook sometimes hurts, but it's good because it gets me back. David, who wrote this psalm, you remember, experienced the bitterness of sin, adultery, and murder, and he knows what it's like for the restoring shepherd to come and to say, David, you're off the path. I have to pull you back into fellowship with myself so that I can continue to lead you in paths of righteousness. So you'll notice that he comforts the sheep. He defends the sheep in verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Imagine The sheep is now on the other side of the valley. That's where the green grass is. That's where the table is prepared. And the shepherd has prepared it. He's gone on ahead. He's checked out the grass. He's checked on the water to make sure that it isn't polluted. It's the best meal that the sheep can possibly ever have. And where does it happen? Right there in the presence of its enemies. If you can feel content in the presence of your enemies, you have won the battle with fear. If you can feel content exactly where God has planted you, with people who are against you, people who are lying about you, people who would like to destroy you, people who would like to see you fail, and right there you are content, that is the provision of God. And how does it work? You stay very, very close to the shepherd. The reason that the sheep can graze in the presence of enemies is because the sheep knows that the shepherd is close by, and the shepherd is watching the sheep as he or she eats. The shepherd is there. Jesus said on one occasion, "I send you forth as lambs in the midst of wolves." Sheep are very defenseless. They have no way to protect themselves. A dog can kill 100 sheep in a night, and there's nothing that the sheep can do if the dog is wild and out of control. There's just nothing that they can do. And Jesus said, you know, you're like sheep, but I'll stay with you there in the presence of your enemies, right where it hurts the most, right where the most damage against you is possible. I'm there with you.
Well, my friend, today that's difficult for us sometimes to believe, isn't it, that the shepherd is with us, even in the presence of our enemies. And of course, what we need to do is to believe that there is nothing that will ever separate us from the love of Christ. You remember in the 8th chapter of Romans, Paul lists various possibilities, and he talks about famine and nakedness. That has to do with people who have no clothes, poverty, sickness, the sword, if we should have to die for the faith. Nothing will separate us from the love of God, and nothing will ever happen to a sheep but that the shepherd knows about it, and that the shepherd is involved in the life of that sheep. Today I want to invite you to let God build that refuge right in the presence of your enemies. You know, the Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. So imagine for just a moment that a sheep runs into a shelter, into a strong tower, and he is there in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the hail, and in the midst of enemies that want to destroy him. Draw near to God today, my friend, and the Bible assures us that he will draw near to us.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Today, Dr. Erwin Lutzer brought part two of When the Shepherd Takes Our Hand, the second of four studies in the Psalms, in a series on When God Shows Himself. Tomorrow, more about the Lord as our shelter in times of danger. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Our four-part series on When God Shows Himself can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about When God Shows Himself when you call. Visit our website at runningtowin.org. And don't forget, Running to Win is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.